53, please. Now, I intend to split the remaining time with another brother, so one of the other brethren can be exercised for 15 or 20 minutes at the end. I will attempt to be down. Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll read from verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Head over, please, to Psalm 1, the first psalm. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If I were to ask some of you who are still in school, maybe high school, or maybe university, what is botany? B-O-T-A-N-Y, botany. You may get a lot of blank stares. I did okay in math. I did sort of okay in English. I did terrible in science when I was in school. And there was one branch of science I particularly stunk at, and that was biology. The study of life. I sort of held my own in chemistry and physics, grade 12. Actually, in Ontario way back then, we had grade 13 of all things. But biology, I was never any good at. Biology is the study of living things, right? But within biology, you've got a branch called zoology. And zoology is the study of animal life. What is the study of plant life? It's botany. Maybe you've heard of things called botanical gardens. They're very boring, but they're very pretty, right? So it's a garden that features plants. Well, botany is the study of the plant world, plant life, a living thing that doesn't have animated life. It's not an animal. I'd like just for a few minutes to talk about some biblical botany. And it follows with what our brother Dan has been doing. And this, if you're a young person here and you're expecting a real rah-rah, stirring message to tell you to try harder to make your life count for God, that's not likely what you're going to hear from me. What I would really like to do is to appeal to younger ones and older ones too, for that matter, but especially younger ones. Sustainable motivation for Christian living will only ever come from the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and commitment to Him. Read your Bible looking for Christ. Learn what it is to meditate on what the Bible tells us about Christ. Take some of the truth concerning Him. Don't try to make it spectacular. Just take truth concerning Christ and fill your soul with it and meditate on it. Learn more of Him simply for the value of knowing more of Him. And as you do that, pray that the Lord will help you to become more like Him. And devotion to Christ and an increasing knowledge of Christ is the fuel that actually is sustainable in motivating me to live for Him. So we have read three images from the plant world, from the botanical world, from the Old Testament that speak to us of Christ. And I want to point out, first of all, from Isaiah chapter 53, that the Lord Jesus is referred to as a root. It says he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. When you read that expression in Isaiah 53, what do you think we learn about the Lord Jesus from the fact that he is called a root out of dry ground? Well, right in the context, I think we learn that what Isaiah is pointing out, the Spirit of God through Isaiah, is a contrast between the barrenness of the ground around and this root that is now springing up from that barren environment. So the Lord Jesus was one that came along in the purposes of God And whether you take the barrenness, the dry ground to refer to Israel, likely in the context of this Old Testament prophecy, that's what it is, or you take it more broadly to refer to mankind, the fact is that for God there was nothing. It was empty, it was dry, it was barren, it was bitter. There was nothing in that surrounding for God. But against that bleak, barren background, there is one now who, by contrast, is a root out of dry ground. But I would just suggest to you there's a couple of further things we can learn about the Lord Jesus, and by practical application about us if we're to be like him, when we consider a root. First of all, a root is that portion of a plant that gives it sustenance, particularly in an arid environment. We went to Arizona a while ago, and if there's anybody here from Arizona, please don't be offended by this. I found it a bleak, depressing, barren landscape. You fly into Phoenix and you drive to Yuma and you feel like you're on the set of an old, forsaken Western movie. There's just nothing. It's just dust and dirt and wind and barrenness. Sorry if you're from Arizona. Give me a lush tropical island any day. That's what I put my dibs in for in the millennium. I've told a few. Bermuda. I've asked the Lord for Bermuda. He'll probably give me Siberia. But in a barren environment, you see a plant. Underneath what you see, underneath what is visible, the root is that portion of the plant that burrows down deep and finds the moisture and brings the sustenance up to the surface that gives vitality to what is visible. You consider the life of the Lord Jesus. What was visible in the life of the Lord Jesus was tremendously significant. But he drew sustenance from a source that no one saw. For over 30 years, he lived in an environment that could not have been more hostile to him. And yet over and over and over again, we read, the disciples went to their home, he went to the Mount of Olives. The crowd went away, he spent the night alone in prayer. People wouldn't understand. In John chapter 4, the disciples go and get meat. He says, I have meat to eat you don't know of. My meat's to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. And he knew what it was to draw sustenance from that unseen source. That's what a root does. But a root does more than that. A root not only provides sustenance for a plant, but a root gives stability to a plant. So you take a plant or a shrub or a tree. What is it that allows that piece of vegetation, that piece of plant life, to survive in adversity? When the wind comes up and the storms blow, it's the roots. It's the root that goes down into the ground and it spreads out into that soil, again in a barren environment, into that rocky, inhospitable environment. Roots go down deep, and it is those roots that give stability to the plant that you see. Similarly with the Lord Jesus, there never was a life that was so marked by adversity than his. And yet there never was a life that was more marked by stability than his. Whether it was satanic attack, whether it was a family that wouldn't believe on him, whether it was disciples that were so slow to learn and so weak in faith, whether it was a Judas that would betray him or a Peter that would deny him, in the face of all adversity, there's one who was a root. What about you? What about me? Are these not virtues that we could seek to emulate? Not in our own strength. But young believer, if you are going to sustainably grow and be fruitful for God, you are going to learn that your sustenance comes from an unseen source. It's from the Word of God, from communion with God. It's not found in the hustle and bustle of activity. May God help us to be like a root, drawing sustenance and finding stability from the Word of God and communion with Him. But secondly, we not only have a root in Isaiah 53, we have a plant. He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant. I want you to notice, first of all, the perspective. Whose eye was watching? He shall grow up before him, before God. I talked yesterday about the Lord being aware and seeing all that's going on in assembly life. I'd like to just apply that truth now personally in my life, all day, every day. There is an eye that is watching me that appreciates growth and development and fruitfulness. In fact, longs for it. In the idea of a tender plant, which is the King James Version translation, there is possibly the idea of the meekness and the gentleness and the character of the Lord Jesus in contrast to the surroundings. Brother Dan has already reminded us from Isaiah 42 of the servant of Jehovah. We live in a culture that promotes brashness, loudness, sensationalism. Is it possible that we have lost the sense of virtue, of what it is to be tender? The Lord Jesus was a tender man. When we think of it in the plant world, perhaps we think that brings with it an element of vulnerability or fragility. Just that tender little plant in a hostile environment. The Lord was never fragile. Say that reverently. He was never vulnerable in the sense that there was any possibility of failure. But he was gentle. He was meek. He was tender. And may God help us to be more willing, not just to be a servant in character, but to allow the fruit of the Spirit to take root in our lives, to make us more like this one who was a tender plant. Issuing sensational posts, having a quick quip, being one who can carry the conversation, being the one who can make everybody laugh, those are all virtues in our society, especially maybe when you're young. And I'm not finding fault with personality, and I'm not saying we should all walk around like monks. But don't miss the importance and the value of genuine Christian character. Character is distinct from personality. He was a tender plant. But if you have an ESV translation or other English translations, you will find that it's not just translated a tender plant, it's translated a young plant. He shall grow up before him as a young plant. And I think that gives us another sense of meaning. I'm not a farmer. I live in the city. But for those who are farmers and those of us that have visited them, you will know that Brother Dan spoke yesterday on sowing and reaping. Well, there's a period in the spring where they till the land and they plant a seed and there's weeding and there's watering and there's waiting. And what is it that they wait for? One day you look out at that field in the late spring and you'll see after all the planting has taken place, you'll see a little green shoot that breaks the soil and begins to sprout up into the air. It's a young plant. What does a young plant signify? A young plant signifies that there's going to be a bountiful harvest. A young plant signifies life. A young plant signifies that a corn of wheat has fallen into the ground and it's died. But because it has died, it's now going to bring forth much fruit. The Lord Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of this young plant. He is a corn of wheat that fell into the ground and died. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 refers to him as Christ the firstfruits. And afterward, those who were Christ's at his coming. And when I think of a young plant, I think of that first shoot of life, which is the indication that there's going to be a harvest. But finally, before I sit down, you come to Psalm 1 and you have not just a root or a plant, you have a tree. We read in Psalm 1, and I would suggest that Psalm 1 is ultimately only fully true of the Lord Jesus. It may be partially true of others, it may be potentially true for all, but it's only perfectly true of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Just a couple of things that I've enjoyed in my meditation on this. The Lord Jesus is like a tree. First of all, it specifically says in the text, it's a tree planted. So this is not just a tree that happened to grow somewhere. It's not a tree that just through the normal happenings of nature, a seed floated down and with the wind and it just landed somewhere and it sprung, sprouted and it happened to grow. This is a tree planted. And it speaks to me concerning the life of the Lord Jesus that it's a life of deliberate design and purpose. Everything in his life happened because of the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 27, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And the words that we've just been reminded of Peter in Acts chapter 2, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The Lord Jesus lived a life. And to me this is tremendously significant, and it's something to be envious of in my own life. He lived a life where everything in his life was the perfect expression of the determined will of God. So much of my life is my own will. But there was one life that was like a tree planted. But also with a tree planted, we have the idea of something permanent and mature. It's a tree. It's the long-term results of deep roots. Sustenance, stability, permanence. It's not just a tree that's planted, it's a tree planted by rivers of water. Has the idea of sustainability, the nourishment that will never end. His is a life that began to bear fruit in his own experience when he was here. It is still bearing fruit in those of us that have been brought to him. And it will yet bear fruit in resurrection. He is a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm sure that, like me, every one of you here, the very fact you're here at a conference is likely proof of this. Every one of you would really like a life of significance. You'd like a life of fruit. No, I don't mean significance in a fleshly way. I mean genuinely, honestly would like a life that from God's perspective has significance. Then learn the lessons of the Lord Jesus from these pictures from the plant world. Learn what it is to be like him, one who was a root out of dry ground, one who was a tender plant, a young plant growing up before him, and one who with stability and sustainability was like a tree planted by rivers of water.